Good evening. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says Congress violates the human rights of Americans when it voted to end some support of the Saudi war in Yemen.
The senators who voted aye say they want to end the bombing in Yemen and support human rights. But we really need to think about whose human rights.
An attorney who defended John Gotti Sr. says the mob is often misunderstood.
There is a business model for the mafia, and the business model is the ultimate in laissez-faire capitalism. Everything has a price, and the idea is to accumulate as much wealth as possible.
And the indigenous Pemon people of Venezuela get caught in the middle of a brutal fight at the border with Brazil. With these and other stories, I'm Paul DiRienzo with the news for Friday, March 15, 2019. First to Linda Perry.
New Zealand police said at least 49 people were killed today at two mosques during Friday prayers in the picturesque South Island city of Christchurch. Another 48 suffered gunshot wounds. Toxic beliefs were behind an unprecedented live-streamed massacre streamed on Facebook for 17 minutes using an app designed for extreme sports enthusiasts, with copies shared on social media hours later. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern called the massacre a terrorist attack in one of New Zealand's darkest days. One man was arrested and charged with murder. The self-proclaimed racist used rifles covered in white supremacist graffiti and in the live stream listened to a song glorifying a Bosnian Serb war criminal. The killer posted meme-heavy hate speech prominent in dark corners of the internet. Beneath the online tropes is a man who matter-of-factly wrote that he was preparing to conduct a horrific attack. Police defused explosive devices in a car. Two other people are in custody. World leaders expressed condolences and condemnation Friday following the deadly attacks on these mosques in New Zealand. While Muslim leaders said the mass shooting was evidence of a rising tide of violent Islamophobia, New Zealand has only 1% Muslim population and a country of about 5 million people. Turkish President Erdogan said the Islamophobia that motivated the attacks is rapidly starting to take over Western communities like a cancer. Pakistan's prime minister echoed those sentiments. He tweeted, "I blame these increasing terror attacks on the current Islamophobia post-9/11, where Islam's 1.3 billion Muslims have collectively been blamed for any act of terror by a Muslim." Jordan's King Abdullah II tweeted, "The heinous massacre against Muslims praying in peace in New Zealand is an appalling terrorist crime. It unites us against extremism, hatred, and terrorism, which knows no religion." Jordan's foreign ministry confirmed that one Jordanian was killed and five wounded in the attack. Several of those killed or wounded in the shooting rampage were from the Middle East or South Asia, from Bangladesh, Pakistan, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, and Indonesia. Mayor Bill de Blasio said New York City is providing extra security for Muslim community centers and mosques. He said he wants the city's Muslims to know that New Yorkers truly embrace them and have their backs. Over to you, Paul.
Thanks, Linda. President Donald Trump issued the first veto of his presidency on Friday, overruling Congress to protect his emergency declaration for border wall funding.
Consistent with the law and the legislative process designed by our founders, today I am vetoing this resolution. Congress has the freedom to pass this resolution, and I have the duty to veto it, and I'm very proud to veto it. Since 1976, presidents have declared 59 national emergencies. They often involve protecting foreign citizens in far-off lands, yet Congress has not terminated any of them. Every single one of them is still in existence. And yet we don't worry about our land, we worry about other people's lands. That's why I say America first, if that's okay. America first.
Trump maintained that he is not through fighting for his signature campaign promise, which stands largely unfulfilled 18 months before voters decide whether to grant him another term. A dozen defecting Republicans joined Senate Democrats in approving the joint resolution on Thursday, but it's unlikely Congress will have the two-thirds majority required to override Trump's veto. House Democrats have suggested they would try nonetheless. Trump wants to use the emergency order to divert billions of federal dollars earmarked for defense spending toward the southern border wall. Trump is expected to issue his second veto in the coming weeks over a congressional resolution seeking to end U.S. backing for the Saudi Arabian-led coalition fighting in Yemen. The resolution was approved in the aftermath of the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. On Wednesday, the United States Senate voted 54-46 to withdraw U.S. forces involved in the Saudi-led intervention in Yemen. The resolution was originally passed by the Senate in December, but Speaker Paul Ryan refused to hold a vote while the Republicans held a majority in the House. The resolution, now passed by both houses of Congress, is the first to use the War Powers Act since its enactment in 1973 and directs the White House to end support of the Saudi military, including aerial targeting assistance, intelligence gathering, and mid-flight aerial refueling, along with providing it diplomatic cover at the United Nations. Secretary of State Pompeo spoke on Friday.
We all want this conflict to end. We all want to improve the dire humanitarian situation. But the Trump administration fundamentally disagrees that curbing our assistance to the Saudi-led coalition is the way to achieve these goals. The senators who voted aye say they want to end the bombing in Yemen and support human rights. But we really need to think about whose human rights. If you truly care about Yemeni lives, you'd support the Saudi-led effort to prevent Yemen from turning into a puppet state of the corrupt, brutish Islamic Republic of Iran. If we truly care about Saudi lives, you'd want to stop Iran-backed Houthis from launching missiles into Riyadh. If you truly care about Arab lives in the region, you'd support allied efforts to prevent Iran from extending its authoritarian rule from Tehran to the Mediterranean Sea and on down to Yemen. And if we truly care about American lives and livelihoods and the lives and livelihoods of people all around the world, you'd understand that Iran and its proxies cannot be allowed to control the shipping lanes that abut Yemen. We're deeply aware of the humanitarian crisis in Yemen, and we deplore it. The United States has given more than $2 billion to help the Yemeni people since the start of the conflict. And Saudi Arabia has given over $500 million in 2018 alone and has pledged an additional $500 million this year. The Islamic Republic of Iran has provided $0 for humanitarian assistance. The way to alleviate the Yemeni people's suffering isn't to prolong the conflict by handicapping our partners in the fight, but by giving the Saudi-led coalition the support needed to defeat Iranian-backed rebels and ensure a just peace. We hope, I met with Martin Griffiths yesterday, we hope that agreements can be implemented to de-escalate, but we must make sure that this crisis comes to an end.
The action by the Senate was sponsored by Democrat Bernie Sanders of Vermont and Republican Mike Lee of Utah. After some maneuvering by opponents discussed on Thursday's edition of the WBAI News, the bill was finally passed and expected to go to Trump's desk, where he's expected to veto the law. Peace activist and co-director of Voices for Creative Nonviolence, Kathy Kelly, says the White House is scheming to continue its support of Saudi Arabia in the face of growing opposition at home.
It's likely that Secretary of State Pompeo wants to divert attention away from the years of United States cruelty toward people in Yemen. I'm thinking particularly of children. 87,500 children have already died of disease and starvation caused by a war that the United States is completely complicit in waging. I think that, the Saudis right now are accused by the New York Times in December of 2018 of using children from Darfur, to fight on the ground in Yemen, while they use remote piloting and drone surveillance to wage their war. Well, the United States has certainly been a companion to the United States in waging remote-controlled warfare. And these are terrible human rights abuses, and there's such desperation in, for instance, Darfur and the Horn of Africa. So Secretary of State Pompeo should be educating the U.S. public about these realities, helping us better understand why there is so much suffering and desperation in Yemen, and not trying to pass it off as something that really should be blamed on Iran.
Do you hold out hope for the legislation that's been passed as a positive position that might actually help?
Well, I think there is a good combination of people in grassroots fashion all across.